This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, where we introduce you to new discoveries that we're dying to share with anyone who will listen, a group which apparently includes you.
I'm Erica.
Yes, this is Erica. I'm Claire. The inspiration for this radio show is our newsletter, which we call 10 Things. It is a list that we publish each week via newsletter of 10 things that we've discovered, everything from recipes to apps to books to beauty products. And we love it so much, and our audience seems to love it too, that we thought, why not expand it into a podcast?
Really blow this thing out.
Blow it out. Spinoff series. And so that's what you're listening to now. It is also part of a larger business of ours called Of A Kind, which is a website where you can discover the stories and pieces of emerging designers. We sell pieces from home and fashion designers and tell their backstories. And we hope you check it out and learn something new, buy something new.
Yeah, just go to ofakind.com. To buy all the stuff, read the stories, and sign up for our 10 Things newsletter as well.
Exactly. So today is a very special episode of A Few Things with Claire and Erica. It's a little more personal than usual. We're going to talk about some dark things. We hope it doesn't get too depressing.
But how to handle dark things, which is something we all struggle with, I think.
This is a solutions-oriented podcast.
That's right. So we have been thinking a lot about grieving and coping and hopefully to a little bit of a lesser extent, death and dying and all of those things. But I had a death in the family recently. We've been helping friends deal with some major life changes. And in the process, have been thinking about the sort of bigger picture, sort of media news stories.
There's been a lot. I mean, Sheryl Sandberg's husband died recently. And hit
Dave
both
Goldberg.
Of us really, like, kind of harder than we expected, I think, because we both really admire Sheryl Sandberg and particularly had latched on to this facet of her sort of lean in theory that is about choosing the right partner and how the most important decision a business decision a woman can make is who she marries. And
we both really patted ourselves on the back for following that advice. And I think
we did
a good job choosing spouses and watching her sort of her situation over the last couple of weeks unfold has been hard for us to sort of wrap our heads around and hard for a lot of people.
Yeah. And then there was the earthquake in Nepal and there've just been unfortunately a lot of tragedy. And also, as Erica mentioned, she was dealing with some personal tragedy in her own life that I was obviously sort of along for the ride as her business partner, the person who sits across the desk from her 5 days a week.
And listens to all sorts of things rehashed that have nothing to do with business.
And one of the things that we ran up against and that Eric and I got into a conversation about when she was going through this tragedy was how to deal with all of the people who are both immediately involved and on the periphery of it. And how does someone act as a good support system to the people who are intimately, you know, related to the tragedy, but also deal with their own experience of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one of the things we came across recently, it was passed around on a list host that we're part of. It outlines something called the ring theory.
It's by Susan Silk.
Yes, who is a psychologist.
I think so.
Yeah,
it was published in the LA Times a couple of years ago, and it just resurfaced.
Exactly. And so the idea of it is basically how, you know, exactly what Claire was outlining. How do you support people who are closer to the tragedy than you are? And then how do you seek comfort from people who are further away from the tragedy? Okay. So the idea that she outlines is that if you basically picture a bullseye, at the center of the bullseye is the person who is most intimately involved, the person this is happening to, the person who, you know, is sick, the person who is going through a really bad breakup, whatever it is. And then the next circle on the bullseye are the people most immediately in contact with that. So that's the spouse or the child or, you know,
the family.
The family. Exactly. Yeah. And then a next ring out from that is the best friends and the people, you know, who are on call to basically support this person. And then the next ring out are the coworkers and the people more further removed. And
she says to keep drawing this ring
until you run out of people
and also make sure you know exactly where on the ring you are.
Right. So are you the closest closest ring into this person, or are you three rings out? And I think, you know, your perception of this might be different than the person's or any of that, but it's just, it's good to sort of ground yourself in this. And the general philosophy from there is basically that you comfort in and you dump out. So if you are in ring three, you need to comfort everybody in rings one and two. You can't tell people in rings one and two how you're feeling. It's not your place because they're dealing with this more intimately.
You can't tell them that it's hard for you.
Basically. Exactly. But you should feel free to tell everybody in rings four, five, and six exactly how you're feeling and let them comfort you. And it's sort of just building out this community and really outlining the roles that you play to make sure that you are being able to support the people who need support the most and that you're getting the support that you need as well.
Well, and the thing that I really loved about this theory too is it acknowledges that even when you're six rings removed from the tragedy, you're still experiencing it by proxy, right? You're still experiencing that trauma on some level, and you should have an outlet for it.
And you have every right to.
Yes, that's not nothing to apologize for. It's just not necessarily your role to tell the people in the quote that, who are dealing with it on a more intimate level about it because they're having to deal with their own
and
problems.
They have so much weight and burden already that they probably can't take on your feelings and your emotions around
exactly.
this right now.
Exactly. And that just made so much sense. We really loved it. And it was something that we had talked about as this sort of tricky issue even before the theory dropped in our laps.
Yes, so, exactly.
So look it up. It's Susan Silk's ring theory. Related to this, almost at the exact same time came across another like really sort of beautiful solution for dealing with a similar problem, which are these empathy cards by this illustrator. And I guess she's an illustrator writer, Emily yeah. McDowell, who had a line of greeting cards.
Yeah, I love her greeting cards. I've sent them to friends for Valentine's Day and stuff. They're just, or for like Galentine's Day. She just has a really good voice and a really good perspective that I think really speaks to me at least.
It's very authentic. It feels very now.
It's very best friendy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she went through cancer, had a really hard time with
it. When she was like 24.
Yeah. And, you know, did the chemo, did everything, and said the hardest part was not, she says it wasn't going bald, it wasn't being mistaken for a man at Starbucks, it was dealing with how sort of troubled people were at knowing how to, people around her were at knowing how to address it, which again is a totally normal problem. It's something I know very well. I know Erica and I, whenever we have talked about this, it's a really hard thing to write a note to somebody who has just experienced death.
Yeah, condolence letters are one of the hardest things to write, and it's something that we've talked about before. And, you know, I have friends who I think have really mastered that process. And I think it's like one of those good things to learn how to do and to practice doing, because I think it does offer a good amount of support and comfort for people going through things, just to know that you're thinking of them in that way and that you are able to put into some words your emotions around it, even if you weren't as close to the person.
And of course, when you go to the empathy card aisle, there's nothing that really feels, or sorry, not the empathy card aisle, but the empathy card section of yeah. a greeting card aisle, you rarely are going to find something that really feels right.
No, it's all just like Easter lilies.
So Emily exactly. And that can feel just as goony to send as anything else. And so Emily McDowell wrote her own line of empathy cards that she sort of wishes had been sent to her when she was going through this. And I'm going to read you some of them because they're so amazing. The first one really hit close to home for me. She said, and it just says, "I'm really sorry I haven't been in touch. I didn't know what to say." And personally, I have been that person who waited too long to say something or didn't know what to say, which surprised even me because I'm always
Claire
have a lot
to say.
Exactly. Yeah. And I did have a friend who went through the death of a parent, and I didn't say enough immediately enough, and I addressed it later on. But I think a lot of people go through that where you just aren't really sure how to deal with the thing.
Yeah. Well, we talked about, related to that, the Amy Poehler book.
Yes.
How she, in a section of the book, she talks about a childhood friend whose mother dies, and that she basically let that friendship just kind of fade because she didn't know how to deal with it and she didn't know how to address it. And she'd been close to this friend's mom, and that made it harder for her. And she did that thing that I think so many people are apt to do, which is say like, well, I think she just needs space.
Right.
I'm just going to give her some space to deal with it. And as far as I can tell, 90% of the time, nobody needs the space.
You don't want space. And then the other thing that happens is you wait too long to say something, and then you have the guilt about, oh, I yeah. waited too long, and you get let this win. You know, it's a vicious cycle. And so I love that, just that sentiment. I'm really sorry I haven't been in touch. I didn't know what to say. It's just owning up to it. The other one that is so great is, please let me be the first to punch the next person who tells you everything happens for a reason. I mean, I don't even know if that requires
explanation. Well, threat of violence is always good in these situations, for sure, and anything that elicits a laugh.
Another one that feels so right, particularly for you and me, Erica, and our love of the internet. I'm so sorry you're sick. I want you to know that I will never, ever try to sell you on some random treatment I read about on the internet. Which I probably have to hold myself back from doing on a regular basis. And I know this next one is one of your favorites.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites. Yeah. When life gives you lemons, I will not try to sell you. I will not try to tell you a story about my cousin's friend who died of lemons.
Just so perfect. And I think also speaks to the ring theory again. Like, just use that. Tell that story to somebody else further
away. The person
away.
Who's dealing with this does not care.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, I promise never to refer to your illness as a journey unless someone takes you on a cruise. And again, these are all just things that I think really speak to us. And, you know, I think when people are going through tragedy, they oftentimes don't want to think that it happened for a reason. They don't want to think of it as part of...
as a normal cycle of things.
Right, or having a benefit. Because the fact of the matter is it just sucks. And there's not that much more to say about it than that. And these cards really speak to it. So look them up and we'll post a link. It's Emily McDowell, Empathy Cards. And then we have one other thing before we cut to break that we wanted to shout out as part of this theme on coping. And it's modernloss.com, started by two amazing women, Rebecca Sofer and Gabrielle Berkner. And I can't believe this website didn't exist up until like a year ago. It is just a place where it is a blog, I guess, for people to write about and read about dealing with loss.
Yeah, there are a lot of personal essays. And then beyond that, there are some sort of tips and tricks and, you know, sort of 5 steps for dealing with someone's personal possessions when they pass and things like that. But there are a lot of personal essays that aren't by experts, that aren't by people who have done this a million times or who have, you know, real tips and tricks or advice, but just people who have gone through something and think that you might find comfort in their story and, you know, that they might find comfort in just getting their story out there. So there were a bunch of really interesting posts around Mother's Day, which is really, you know, sort of interesting as a holiday where... If you don't have your mom, it can be really, really, really hard.
I noticed that a lot on the internet and maybe just in my corner of the internet, but
me too.
A lot this past week that this acknowledgement that Mother's Day is actually an incredibly challenging holiday for a lot of people who don't have their mother, didn't have a great relationship with their mother, or might feel like, or who have lost a child.
Yeah. Totally. Yes. And not just for the children, but for the mothers too. And I think that that's potentially very overlooked, you know, people who have had miscarriages recently or people who are estranged from their children and don't want to be. It's just can be a really tough holiday in a lot of ways.
And I just love Modern Loss so much. For its content, but also for its concept in general, because I think it's a testament to the fact that I hate using this term, but as a society, we are coming around to the fact that we've been kind of crappy at dealing with death and knowing how to talk about it and knowing how to be open about it. And I think I've seen some books too, one by Caitlin Doughty about how, and I'll come up with the title of that later after the break, but it is, you know, we haven't really, in this country, we're not very good at dealing with death and coping with death because we don't talk about it that much. And the more websites like Modern Loss pop up and gain popularity, I think we will just provide better support systems to each other.
And I think it just offers this idea that there isn't necessarily a right way to do this. There's no right way to talk about this. It's just about sharing your feelings and what you're going through and that is enough.
Exactly. All right. We are going to cut to break and talk about something a little bit lighter.
Oils
with our favorite natural beauty expert, Jessa Blades, who is all about wellness in general. And we'll be right back.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Welcome back to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, where we discover all, or excuse me,
where we discuss all of our latest discoveries
and discover our feelings about those discoveries, I'll say.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
We are now back with special guest Jessa Blades, who is a wellness expert in general. She, I think, is a beauty expert. She's done Erica and my makeup before, multiple times before, and made us look amazing.
We also use that as an opportunity to really pick her brain about a million things when she does do her makeup. So it's kind of like a gift with purchase, is a therapy session with Jessa, talking about what natural beauty lines we should know about, what fertility things she's thinking about, what lotions and potions we should be using,
exactly. etc. She's a holistic expert. Hi, Jessa.
Hi, ladies. How's it going?
Good. Did we do a good job describing? You're welcome. Did we do justice to your role?
I don't think we did.
No, you did great. I mean, I do so much, and it's because, just like you said, you know, once you sort of start talking about anything related to beauty, it covers so much, and it's so holistic now that we're such smart adult ladies. So, yeah, I do everything from lipstick to fertility awareness to lotions and potions. Yeah.
Good. Great. One of the things that we wanted to talk to you about today, we always want to talk to you about everything, is oils, because Erica and I are total oil junkies. My husband is always like, when is it going to end? Our entire bathroom is an oil slick. Our sheets are stained with coconut oil. I can't kiss you because your face is all
dripping. Yes. Well, I feel like it took you a while to get into coconut oil, though, because when did I start?
You were using coconut oil way before.
Man, I've been using coconut oil for a while. Yeah. But I feel like once you start using it, you're like, why do I spend money on anything else? And I use it for body lotion. And then I started using it for oil pulling. And for a while, I used it to shave my legs, although I think that probably caused some bathroom drain cloggage situations that I should probably avoid. But that was our first real foray.
Well, I was more into argan oil before I was into coconut oil, which is maybe why I was hesitant to get into coconut oil, because you just start to get, you know, you got a lot of oils. Tell us, we love so many oils. What's your favorite oil?
Oh my goodness. I do too. I mean, coconut oil is sort of my go-to favorite. And I think what I love, you know, in any class I teach, with any client I talk to, with any lady I meet on the subway, you know, you bring up the topic of coconut oil and they have a use, whether it's like all of the ones that you mentioned, or takes off your mascara, or acts as a deodorant, or for their baby's diaper rash. I mean, it's sort of a go-to.
I also have had a lot of friends. I'm not speaking for myself specifically, because I'm not speaking about my sex life on air, but a lot of people have been using it as a sexual lubricant, it's everything. Cooking, sex, beauty, it's all cleaning, everything. It's covered. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. And I think once you start to get into it, then you get deeper into understanding it, and also then there's the whole idea of quality and brands and where to go from there, because there's just so much on the market. So I find there's also a lot of confusion with it once you sort of get your feet wet with it. There's a lot more to sort of delve into.
So can we back up for a second and just talk about why oils to begin with? What are the benefits? What's the sort of theory around why you should be using oils as moisturizer first, maybe, but then for all of these other things?
Yeah, so oils are great because, I mean, your skin actually produces oil, right?
Yes.
So your skin, you know, we used to be afraid of it and thought it clogged our pores, when actually, you know, synthetic mineral oil and that sort of thing, that clogs our pores. But natural, organic, based oils, that does not clog our pores. I mean, there may be oils that are too heavy for your skin, but they actually give your skin what it needs. And your skin is always trying to get into balance. And so actually putting oil back onto your skin is bringing it back into balance.
So even if you have oily skin, you can still use oils.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of the time when people have issues with acne and have oily skin, one of the reasons is because they're actually stripping their skin too much when they're washing it, over-exfoliating, over-washing, and their skin is drying out too much, and their skin is saying, oh, wait, I need more oil, so I'm going to overproduce oil, and that's really can be the cause of oily skin in certain people.
interesting.
So can you talk about using oils versus using creams, or can you use both at once?
Claire likes to layer pretty much anything.
I always layer them. And actually, one of the things that someone once told a friend of ours who's also a beauty expert, Chelsea Skies, said she likes to put on the cream first and then put on an oil. And she says, think about it like watering a plant. If your plant, if the soil is really dry, you need to put a little bit of water first and then more water. Because if you just put all tons of water in dry soil, it doesn't absorb it, right? Yep. So she says that putting cream, it sort of primes your skin to accept the oil.
That's a really good idea. I'd also just back it up a minute and just tell you, actually, do you guys know how you make cream?
No.
I don't know how you...
I really want to know.
In one of my classes, and it, like, blows everyone's mind because they're like, I can't put oil on my skin. It's going to clog my pores. And the way you make cream and lotion is you take oil and then you take water and you whip it.
So it's kind of like making mayonnaise or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what makes... So you actually have always been putting oil on your skin. Okay. You've just been adding water. But the issue with water is that bacteria can grow in water. You know, if you leave like a bucket of water on your porch, you see things growing in it. So you need to figure out how to preserve it then once you add water, once water is the first ingredient in a product. So that's sort of where you get into the whole natural beauty world and looking, understanding preservatives, and that's where parabens come in because they're a preservative and that sort of thing. So just to make the distinction, you know, lotion and cream is oil whipped with water and various other things.
So they're cousins.
They're cousins. Okay. And they're like the lighter cousins. So that's why, you know, if you need a little bit less hydration in the summer, a lotion is great, or sort of like that combo you were talking about. I sometimes like to put on an oil and then a cream on top, and then I sometimes switch that order just depending on the time of the year, depending on how hydrated I am. Internally, like if I've been traveling or eating better or worse, you know, I really find that the hydration might get affected by that too.
Of course. That makes sense. You were starting to talk about brands of coconut oil. How are we supposed to discern between, you know, the very basic jar that you might be able to get at Whole Foods or from Amazon, that's, you know, $10 for a jug, basically, that can be used for making popcorn or putting it on your face, versus the sort of more refined or maybe less refined stuff from RMS or any of the small coconut oil brands have been popping up.
Coco-Vite is one that we've noticed.
Yeah,
and they tend to be a little more expensive.
I was going to mention them. Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
so things you want to consider, glass. You want it to be in glass.
Oh, interesting.
Much better than plastic.
Why is that?
It doesn't leach the plastic
that,
then?
Just the leaching of, you know, I just try to avoid plastic.
What does leaching mean?
So the glass is a little bit better for storing. And I'd also say, so you want to go for raw virgin.
And why is that?
Cold press.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was just going to say, even cold press does use a little bit of heat, and I know it is so incredibly confusing when you're trying to buy the stinking jar of coconut oil. So, you want it to be as raw, as virgin as possible, because then it keeps in the nutritional values, and it also keeps the percentage of the lauric acid, which is the real antioxidant sort of miracle ingredient in there. And, you know, it's also... It's antifungal, it's antimicrobial, it's so soothing, but it needs to be kept at its purest state. And so keeping it without any heat is really what you want in the extraction process. So Coco-Vite is an awesome brand that you guys mentioned. They really do justice to coconut oil.
If we're in a pinch, can we use the refined stuff, or is it like don't even bother if it's refined?
You know, I think there's all different levels of what you can use, you know, especially like if you're traveling or you're in the middle of nowhere and you have an option of like a synthetic conventional lotion on the shelf at a CVS, or you can get like a refined coconut oil. I think maybe, it's better to use that coconut oil.
Okay.
It's just not going to be as active, not going to be as antifungal, antimicrobial, as healing, as nutritionally valid, you know. So, and I'd also say like a really great point to mention about the whole natural beauty world is most of these companies are so small that if you have any questions as a consumer, because I know this is so confusing and there's no way to talk about every brand that people have access to, is to call them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot harder to call these larger companies and really get an answer that's not already, like, you know, one that they have, they've drilled into the customer service representatives. Like, you can talk, say, you know, I really want to know about how you're extracting this coconut oil and tell me about it. And hopefully they will be happy to answer it for you. So I think that's really nice.
Can we review, because we have some other oils we want to move on to, but I just want to do a recap of, of our favorite. Because we went over it pretty quickly. What are our favorite uses for coconut oil?
So body lotion.
Body lotion, right when you get out of the shower.
Don't dry off.
Don't dry off. Just put coconut oil on. And as I have learned, it's very important to make sure that all of the oil is either absorbed or wiped off before you get dressed, because my dry cleaning bills really skyrocketed when I first started using coconut oil as a body lotion, because I was just getting oil stains all over my clothes.
And I don't use very much. I mean, I basically use a pea size amount for each leg.
That's crazy to me. I do nothing in moderation, so I go through a jar a month, basically.
I have a special robe that I put on. It's my oil robe. I put it on and let it sink in, and then I just wear that for as long as possible.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
So you were using it as shaving until it completely clogged your drain, Erica.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then
we both
do oil pulling, which is a whole other episode.
It's basically mouthwashing with coconut oil, but you swish it around in your mouth for like 15 minutes or more to get all the toxins out.
Yes.
And it does make your teeth feel really smooth.
Yeah, and it's good for your gums and just oral health in general. Makeup remover, Jesse, you mentioned.
Great makeup remover.
It
does. It's amazing. I also really love it as a hair mask. I have really curly hair, which tends to be dry, and I will just put a bunch of coconut oil in my hair for, I don't know, half an hour, and then wash it out, and my hair feels so much softer afterwards.
Jessa, what else are we missing?
I like it for bug bites.
Oh.
It helps sort of speed up the healing process and helps a little bit with itching.
Yep.
I like it for digestion. So I will, in general, just sort of taking it to help with my daily digestion, but also, you know, that time when you get home and you don't want to eat a whole meal, but you need a little bit of something in your stomach to stop that gurgling before you go to bed. I love taking like a spoonful or two right before I go to bed.
Tip. I've never heard of that. And I have that all the time where I will have a late lunch. I come home. I don't want dinner, but I'm like, if I go to bed now, I'm going to wake up really hungry in the middle of the night.
Totally.
That's a great tip. Thank you, Jessa.
Yeah.
I'm going to use
You're welcome. It's really good. I love it in my diet in general, just also in smoothies. I love it with the hair trick that you guys mentioned.
Yeah.
But I will, when I have a lot of time by myself, I will put also a plastic bag on my hair with coconut oil and sit in the sun.
Yes.
Look like a crazy person.
I do that with the shower
and let that just soak all in.
Yeah.
Okay, so what other oils are really bubbling to the surface right now? The ones I have been hearing about, thinking about, and potentially buying are Manoy oil, which comes from a gardenia flower, and then sea buckthorn oil, I feel like I've been seeing everywhere. What else? Or what are those even used for? Why should we care?
Well, there's so many, and they're so fun to sort of get into them. I mean, the Manoy oil that you're talking about, so that's actually so beautiful and fragrant. So that's when they take the gardenias, the Tahitian gardenias, and they're steeping them in coconut oil, actually.
Yes.
Oh, so it's getting the benefits of the coconut oil. Huh,
yeah, and
cool.
Then you're getting the essential oil from the gardenias. And, you know, what's so nice about that is there's the seed and the nut oils, like the coconut oil, and then you're getting the oils from the plants, the more delicate essential oils. And, you know, those gardenias have been known to help heal sunburn and headache. And so it's sort of this like beautiful balance of internal, external healing that is possible, like with that oil. So that's an oil that is sort of a combo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the essential oil from the gardenias and then the oil from the coconut. So that's
Love
a really
that.
Nice one.
The other thing, oil that I think we have to talk about is peppermint oil, because Jessa changed my life once during a video shoot. She had done our makeup. It was a really hot day. And there we, on top of that, there were lights for the shoot glaring down on us. We couldn't turn on the air conditioner because it would make too much noise. And I was sweating so badly. And Jessa emerges like a fairy out of a room and dabs peppermint oil
like behind your ears.
My ears, mm-hmm. like on the pulse yep. points right behind my ears. And it was a personal yep. air conditioner. It blew my mind. It felt like, how did I get to age 30 without ever discovering yep. this before? Because it was so powerful. And so yep. you actually have a peppermint oil that you sell on your site. Is that right, Jessa?
I do. Yeah. It's by a woman named Hope Gillerman, a brand named H. Gillerman Organics. And she blends it. It's with a little bit of a lavender essential oil, but mostly peppermint. And it's this beautiful blend that is, you know, she markets it as a tension remedy. So it's great for headaches. It's really great for like a stiff neck. It's also great for that 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You really want a coffee, but you still need to focus sort of. But it also cools you down. It will just, you know, it takes a minute to sink in. Yeah. I'm always like, I know you are, but wait for it. And then it just cools you down. It's on set. It's my miracle worker because, especially the men love it. They're like, what's that smell?
Well, men never get that. They never get that.
Exposed to these beauty secrets.
Jessa, will you shout out your URL so everybody knows where to buy it?
Yes, sure thing. It's, bladesnaturalbeauty.com is, the shop for my, makeup, skincare, and wellness items. And then you can also get to it from jessablades.com.
And Blades is like blades. Yes, razor blades. Yeah. Jessa Blades. J-E-S-S.
Jessa also has an amazing tea that people swear by, this Mountain Woman tea that you should probably add to your shopping cart, too.
Yeah. You know what's neat? When I was listening to you guys talk about how to take care of the people close to you in your lives, especially during hard times, the tea that you're talking about is my Mountain Woman tea, and I made it. It's a nervous system stress-relieving supporting blend, and I just made it in honor of all of the women that I know who are working a ton, creating a ton, caring for people. And I thought about that. You guys were talking about how to care for other people, that sometimes when you don't know what to say, like coming up like, you know, a peppermint oil blend or a homemade salve or like teas, that, you know, they're internal, external sort of healing things that nature is literally producing for us to heal our friends and ourselves with. So
that's so lovely.
I love that.
That is an amazing way to tie it all together.
Yeah,
and wrap
thank
it
you,
up.
Jessa. Thank you so much for everything. And hopefully you can come back again soon and we can talk about all the other things pick your brain about.
I mean, we probably need a part two for oils
that.
Alone.
Yes, exactly. We didn't even get to all the fancy oils that we spend too much money on. Well, on that note, this has been A Few Things with Claire and Erica and our special guest, Jessa Blades.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.